Hi. Well then, you're using that as a second screen.
Yes.
I
the
see.
Second screen experience.
Man, if only our listeners could get the second screen experience that we're experiencing right now. Except we have like 7 screens in this room.
2, 3. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's like the Ronnie Chang experience where he's like laptop, iPad, iPhone, Apple Watch.
Prime Now.
Put it in my hand, in my mouth. We're just doing Ronnie Chang's entire bit for no good goddamn reason. Hi, guys. Happy Thursday.
Hello.
Or happy Friday to the listeners, or Thursday to the streamers.
Whatever.
Ain't no streamers. It's all right. It's just us. Oh, boy. All right. Do we have a action-packed evening for you all tonight?
We do?
I don't know. Okay, here's this.
All for the gram.
Yes, everything's for the gram.
Bitches love the gram.
Oh, wait, shit.
The bit's continuing?
Apparently.
Did we not resolve? Okay, you know what? It's probably not going to the Twitch stream, but it's fine. Did we not resolve? Like, we're going to kill the Muzak?
No, we're not.
All right, never mind.
No, we're killing the music everywhere except on our show.
Okay. Not sure what that means, but all right. Splitting hairs.
No music on YouTube. No music on Twitch. You can get music everywhere.
That's right. You Spotify listeners, you Apple podcasters, you're getting the full BS experience. And trust me, this is a BS experience.
If you tune in, you're just seeing a bunch of dancing heads.
It's awful. Okay, you know, every time you pick a song, you have to explain it because we don't get it. So, continue the bit.
There's actually no explanation this week.
You just like the song?
It's just a hit. Bangers, man. We need bangers. Starting the show off with bangers.
I like just that. Need that's bangers. Not bad.
That's fair. This episode is a banger already. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? All right. We got a name for the show now? Just bangers. All right. Shout out to Roxanne. Who the hell she is? And shout out to this blend, saving my night, because...
So you actually went. Picked it up.
Yeah, I got the hot call. I got the tip from...
Were you nearby, or you actually went out of the way to go?
I was in Bamadale, and I figured I'd take a little mosey down the road in Jack's neighborhood and cop a few, as it were. I haven't had a lot of success copping much of anything late, so this is a small victory. It's a nice win, so the Blaine's is making its second appearance on the show.
Sweet.
Flash the bottle real quick.
Got the horse. I think it's a letter T.
Letter T.
You know, I never knew the horses had letters on them.
I only heard it from another show.
Yeah. Then I started looking at all the bottles that I had. I was like, holy crap.
Like, it's true.
The legend.
I'm not going to go out of my way to collect them.
Correct.
So.
No. They're not Pokemon. You can't collect them all.
I bet you it's for those, the cork collectors. You know how people like collecting corks?
Cork, because they're cork collectors with quirks. Cork collectors have quirks.
I was going to try to shoehorn something in there, but there's no topping that one. And that's where we start the show. Thank you, Roxanne. Kill me, Roxanne. From the Badsland studio
I forgot.
In Fairfax.
I have to give you a fake fade now.
I got to get the faux fade. Live from Eddie's room, it's a Badsland podcast. I'm Asian John, your hashtag moderator, waiting for a cue. He's Jack drinking whiskey.
Hi.
And Ice is getting around to making himself a drink. You can find us on Badslant.com. Follow us at Badslant on Instagram and the Twitter. I think we are successfully running on Twitch tonight. Who the hell knows? But we thank you if you somehow catch wind of this thing, and if you're listening to us in the traditional formats of all the podcast mediums, be they Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, Stitcher, and CastBox, we say thank you. 5-star only, 5-star. And always support the show. Shop Amazon, Target, and Walmart.com through the link badslant.com/support. Top of the show, during the preamble, Jack and I throw him back a little bit of the whiskey, a little bit of the Blantons. I think we've broken these guys out a couple of times here on the show. The Glencairn whiskey glass, and, you know, I may have plugged it at some point, but there's no better way to drink fine whiskey. So if you're in the mood to drink like your boys on the Bad Slant podcast, make sure you grab a Glencairn whiskey glass on Target.com. You get it for $12.50. It is a lead-free crystal. Ice is going to mesmerize you with the brown liquid, and you see the narrow opening at the top of the glass, which is supposed to break the aroma and you know, give it all the effects that you should get when you're drinking a fine whiskey. So check it out. Check out a Glencairn whiskey glass and buy it at Target through our link, badslant.com/avoint. What?
Cling.
I think I just started slurring when you wanted to toast me because I didn't know how to close the segment. Ah.
Mm. It's always so good.
It is really good, man. Well, I gotta thank you. You're the whiskey plug. You're the reason why that I was able to cop for a change. I've been on the losing end of quite a few endeavors of late, but we got a lot to get to as far as copping season
yes.
goes. But we're gonna talk a little bit more about NBA All-Star Weekend. I know we belabored the point last week because Ice could not get over the fact that Zach LaVine was not going to dunk, but we're going to forget about that altogether because there were transgressions, there was chicanery afoot, and we'll discuss it all, perhaps with a special guest, and we'll talk All-Star Weekend shoe news. There was quite a bit of that as well, but we have a rat. We have a mole. Somebody who's on the inside of I guess All-Star Weekend, being that he's in the Chicagoland footprint, and we felt it appropriate to dial in some help. If only he were to pick up the phone. As we're famously dialing from, you can tell by that sound, we're using the Skype. Caller, are you there?
Hello. Hello, did I win the Janet Jackson tickets?
Oh, you got the one titty extravaganza experience. Uncle Phil is the winner.
What's going on, boy?
What's Yo. Going on, man?
You're that, killing me, man.
If you don't know the voice by now, shame on you. That is the voice of our good friend, Chicago's own Uncle Phil. What's going on, brother? Happy
hey,
to have
buddy.
You back.
It's going, man. It's going great. We are freezing out here.
Yeah, we're not going to take
it. Some weather. Some nice weather.
I wish there was a way that I can, like, take his video feed and drop it into our stream because it's freaking hilarious. He's just walking around this dark room, and the only thing you see is his white eyes just glowing.
Eyes and teeth.
It's, so it's creepy,
my
man.
My skinny beard.
You're trying out a new look. Well, we're sad we don't get to see it, but we're grateful to hear your voice. We won't
Likewise,
keep you in the
man.
Dark for too long because you are literally in the dark somewhere in Chicago, I guess in your condo.
I'm in a dark corner right now.
You've been in some dark places. Well, we're drinking Blantons. We're trying to keep warm on your behalf.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So you are famously from Chicago. You still live in Chicago. You were in Chicago for the All-Star Weekend festivities. What was it like? Just like get a feel for what the city was like during all the festivities.
Oh, it was crazy. There were actually a lot more people kind of out and about than I thought there would be. I mean, even we live not too far from the United Center, which was kind of, well, obviously where all the playing happened. Baby Pier, we're not too far from there either.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Kind
okay.
of where the epicenter was. They had like a huge setup over there. They had the whole like fan experience and everything. But yeah, the consensus was that it was a great success for everybody involved.
Maybe not for everybody.
Considering it was like 20 degrees out there, right?
Yeah, it was actually hilarious. I think the first night I saw the Bears posted on their Instagram, they posted like a picture, an aerial picture of the city, and it said, you know, NBA All-Star 2020, welcome to Chicago. I hope you guys brought your coats.
Nice.
Because I think the first night of it was like the coldest night we've had all year so far.
Oof. What is the temperature right now in Chicago, just out of curiosity?
I just looked actually before you guys called me earlier, and I think it was like 16 degrees right now.
Oh,
damn, dude.
A balmy 16. What's the temperature in your condo right now?
It is. If possible, I believe it's below 16.
Jesus Christ.
So, well, but it's crazy because this weekend it's supposed to get up to 50, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, we're going to make great use of your time. We're going to talk about the entire movie Parasite while we have you on the
phone. Dude, I had some Ramadan for the first time last week.
Oh no. Okay, well, we actually had the crazy idea of to try to cook our own versions of Ramadan, but unfortunately did not come together. So we're dying of jealousy. all right, back to the crux of the matter. The fact was your homeland was the site for All Star Weekend. So what did you do for the weekend? Did you go out and enjoy anything that took place during All Star Weekend?
I would really like to say that I did.
No, but you didn't. Come on, man.
I didn't make it down to Navy Pier. I thought about doing it maybe Sunday, but it didn't come together.
Right.
But I was doing some more work at our place on Saturday, so we were here most of the day. But I did make it home in time to live text with you guys about the Saturday night festivities
debacle. Well, then, if we're gonna jump right into it,
I digged out for a little bit. There were a couple of like pop ups and stuff in the area for like clothes and sneakers and stuff. So I kind of at least was in the area for that. I wasn't about to be waiting in too many crazy lines, but so, it was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool.
I want to hear a little bit about that too, but I guess where do we start? You want to start at with the actual festivities?
Well, the biggest news of the weekend was the dunk contest, obviously, and I think that's what you build your entire year around, Ice. Oh, yeah. No matter how mediocre the thing has gotten over the years, because full honesty, we had the dunk contest on. We had NBA TV on in the background while we recorded the show last week, and they did a recap of all the good ones in recent memory. And then it started 2011, 2012, long gap, 2018. So it tells you just where this thing has gone. It's been so inconsistent over the years, and then all of a sudden they had to bring in one of the heavy hitters over the past years, which was Aaron Gordon, who was famously robbed in the NBA dunk contest. So, I mean, the fact that we just happened to see the robbery happen again to the same guy.
Oh, man.
Poor guy.
Painful.
It's so funny. This week on ESPN, they showed clips of his high school dunk contest, and he got robbed there, too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
So the dude's been robbed three times. It's unbelievable.
He does not have the luck of the Irish. So
seriously. I would understand if he hung him up and never came back because of all that, but honestly, I hope he does come back, man.
He's not going to come back.
I think he's already declared at this point that he's not coming back.
I mean, the only thing is if they somehow like convinced him, like him, and I think the only way that he's going to come back if they did something with the judging. I think that would be the like.
What, you let him judge it? Like
no, I
how do you
I
fix guess it?
There was damn it. Who was it? Someone's one of those sports shows, and their suggestion, which I thought actually made a lot of sense, was only bring judges that were previous dunk champions.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because they understand.
Oh, that's a good idea.
They understand the moment. They understand how hard it is to pull off these dunks technically, and just to put on a show, and they can judge it exactly. With full understanding, not
context,
not Black Panther. What? Why the hell is he? Why the hell is he judging? Come on.
Okay, well that
Black Panther.
You know, I think it would be funny if Aaron Gordon came back to judge, and then he like robbed somebody
judging. He robbed Zach LaVine out of it.
Feel my pain.
Well, actually, thinking back, wasn't Jordan like the Russian judge? He was like giving everyone like terrible scores that one year he judged.
I wouldn't put it past him. I can't remember. He can do no wrong. But you know who can do wrong?
He loves trolling, so I wouldn't doubt that one bit.
Yes, I would. I wholeheartedly agree. So we have that. So Jordan can do no wrong, but someone who we think who can do wrong is Scottie Pippen. number one, the outfit atrocious. What? You
don't
bite your tongue.
Talking about the greatest Chicago Bull of all time like that. Scottie Pippen.
I mean, I can't argue with you. You're from Chicago. Well, I'll put it to you guys this way: there were three judges on the panel. Three of the five judges that. Gave a score of 9, which completely threw the contest at the very end, which is Dwayne Wade, Chicago native Dwayne Wade, Scottie Pippen.
And T'Challa.
And T'Challa, King T'Challa of Wakanda. Phil, I'll put it to you first. You were watching with us in spirit and text.
By the way, that was pretty cool, just to have everyone on, and they were like...
Everyone's angry simultaneously. Fingers can't move fast enough to one-up the next guy.
Right, I thought that was so funny to see, just to see all the, like, the organic reactions to all of us, because we're all watching this in real time, and, like,
what the
obviously
hell is
we all
going
appreciate
on?
The dunk contest, and it was just pretty cool to see that.
Yeah.
So as the scores were coming out, Phil, when the scores were coming out, what did you think? Like, who in the moment, who did you think screwed this up the most?
You know what? I don't even really. I feel like that last one, I feel like because they gave Derek Jones the two nines and his
the
previous dunk.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody was feeling the pressure, like, oh man, I can't give him a 10. I got to give him a 9-2 to correct this or something. I don't even know what they were thinking, but I still blame D-Wade, man. I think it's his fault.
Thank you.
Well, obviously, it's his previous teammate, right? Ex-teammate.
Correct.
That's why.
Yeah.
Did Wade retire last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Guys, then they do overlap, and then there is certainly a frozen envelope situation here. Jack, you watch from home, I presume?
Yeah, I watch from home.
Okay. What did you think?
I just think there was miscommunication in terms of who was supposed to do what in terms of that last dunk.
Like, they're supposed to be chicanery?
Yeah, they didn't, because it was, from what I hear, they just wanted to end it in a tie, but they didn't know how, and so, like, they just were supposed to just judge these last dunks as a tie, so they didn't want to give any more 10, so they're like, okay, we'll set it up as a tie, but it just, someone messed up. And then, you know, Common's like, you better look at it, somebody else, not me.
Yeah.
And then, So, I mean, but
Chicago's own Common.
But one thing I will say that a lot of people are arguing is that Aaron Gordon had to attempt that last dunk twice. And each of those dunk-off championship dunks.
It's a minor quibble.
Yeah, that Derrick Jones was only had to do it once. So that's a lot what I've been hearing. I don't agree with it, but that's just something that people are saying now. So
it's flawed logic.
Yeah, it's just, they're just nitpicking at it. But yeah, I believe Aaron Gordon got robbed. I mean, up until, like, the second dunk, he had hit 50s. So there was no reason for him to continue dunking. Like, and when Derrick Jones, he had a 46 his first dunk. So, yeah, it was completely unfair. I mean, it's the first time this has ever happened. So that's why they messed up. They didn't have an out for this type of situation.
As judges and as fans, it's easy for us to sit back and say, shoot, it's a tie. Let's have him go into a dunk off and go into overtime and stuff. Right. But putting yourself in the dunker's shoes, it's like, it's tough to come up with creative dunks and to execute them on the spot. Without practicing too. You may have the idea in your head, but to actually do it in front of all these people for the very first time one shot, that's tough, man. That's a lot of pressure. So for me, I have a lot of sympathy for them, and I'm like, maybe instead of doing a dunk off, they just need to say, okay,
composite score.
Yeah, at this point, it's a tie, but who do we feel won?
It's
either going to end up in their co-champions or there's a clear winner. Yeah. And I think at that moment, given all the reactions, that Aaron Gordon won. For sure.
His dunks were much. I think his dunks were more creative because it just seemed like Derrick Jones kept doing the same dunk.
I watched
just
the different.
Yeah, it was
the
just
same.
This, yeah,
with just repackaged. I mean, which is it's still impressive.
Yeah,
because, I mean, he was getting way up there, dude. Like, I mean, he's a great dunker, obviously, but yeah, Aaron Gordon is so creative when he does that.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think anybody compares to him.
And I think what Derrick Jones's dunks were missing was just a level of finesse. Like, everything was way, way athletic, and, you know, the length that he jumped from the free throw line through the legs, everything. Like, yes, they were the same dunks, but they obviously had a degree of difficulty to them, but they just didn't seem like as awe-inspiring as anything that Aaron Gordon managed to land. He jumped over a Kia turn sideways, which is basically Taco Fall. and Blake Griffin won a dunk contest jumping over the hood of a Kia. So, I mean, can you imagine jumping over 7 feet in the damn air and then somebody nitpicking because he grazed his ear? Like this is the level of regard that he's being held to. Like, it's a higher standard for him because everyone knows he's a better dunker.
Yeah.
And it seems insanely unfair at this point.
Oh, sorry. Instead of 7'5", what, 7'3", 7'1"? Like, come on. He still cleared 7 foot. Like, that's insane, man.
So he didn't jump over a Kia Forte. It was like a Kia Soul. But either way, it's relatively impressive. Okay. So we all agree Dwayne Wade sucks, right?
Yeah. I mean, someone said, during that, when the scores all came out, everyone turned to D Wade and would just look at him like, what?
And the memes started immediately.
I loved how at the end he was like basically telling the guys on the post game show, he's like, hey, don't blame me, dude.
Everyone just said the same thing. It was pretty cheap.
He's an easy target, but you know,
I mean, the turtleneck didn't help.
No, no. You wear that to an all-star game, you're getting your ass reamed out.
We lost Phil for a second. We lost him to the darkness.
I think the darkness monster finally swallowed him whole.
Phil!
You back?
Are you okay?
I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back, baby.
Okay.
Did I win the Janet Jackson tickets?
No, stop calling. Hang up. Hang up. Prank call. Okay, well, I think the injustice of All-Star Weekend has been soundly put to bed. I mean, everything else is pretty decent. I didn't see the skills competition, but I guess it was
a thing. I didn't either.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like... I still get annoyed that none of those guys put in the effort. Like, they're trying to win. No one, like, rushes down. Like, I think what we saw last year from Trae Young was impressive because he was quick.
You don't remember?
When he tossed the ball down the court and chased after
that. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was slick, man. Like,
that was great strategy.
That was awesome.
And you would think after that already, you know, was done last year, someone was going to copy that and do it this year. No one did it. No one cares. Everyone's still jogging, like strolling down the court.
They just want to finish it without messing up.
And then when they're at the three-point line, they're like waiting till the guy finish shooting and then they shoot their shot.
After you, sir.
It's like, no, it's a competition, dude.
Oh, my God.
Like, my goodness.
I wonder if any of that arises, though, now that we're talking about it. I wonder if any of that arises from, like, that being, well, I guess other than the dunk contest, because they're running so much, that's, like, one of the only events that weekend that you could actually probably get hurt in, like roll an ankle or something.
Perhaps, yes.
So no one's running?
You might break a sweat, even. God forbid.
That's not very All-Star-like.
No, not at all.
No sweat breaking here.
No defense, no effort whatsoever. But speaking of effort and defense, I think there actually was some level of that on display during the actual All-Star game,
which is
a break from tradition from, I don't know, the last 25 years.
Right.
Phil, we'll put it to you first so you can answer and then go to somewhere with some some heat. Right. Did you watch the game, I should ask, first off?
Yeah, I didn't catch the entire game, but okay. I didn't catch the disputed ending, but I caught a good chunk of it.
Okay, fair.
And I thought it was cool, man. I thought it was a little bit, I mean, it definitely, the rule changes kind of, I felt like the guys put in a little bit more. There was like more to play for this year, kind of, I feel right. like.
Did you understand the rules at the onset?
I was still kind of confused going on, so not really. I say not really.
We tried to break it down on the show, but I think our brains imploded simultaneously, so
you're
not alone in that regard. From what you saw, though, you thought it made sense and that the guys were actually playing harder?
Yeah, I thought it was cool, and I feel like, as opposed to years past where they're just kind of throwing the ball up and not playing a whole lot of defense, I feel like guys were actually going a little bit harder this year, which was pretty cool.
Kind of interesting that Steph Curry wasn't in this game, and suddenly guys are playing harder. I don't know. Not going to draw any conclusions out of that.
Come on. It's the format, man.
I'm sure. Jack, did you watch?
Yeah, I watched it.
The whole thing, tape?
Not end to end. I mean, I was just like, I was.
The end was pretty much the only thing you were supposed to watch.
I
skipped the end.
No, I watched the end. It's just like, I would flip away and then come back. Like, in between quarters, I would be like, it would be a little jarring to see the score at 0-0 again. I was like, what happened? Oh, yeah.
Is that how it went?
Yeah, so at the beginning of each quarter, they reset the score. So
I did the opposite of you and Phil. I watched the end and not the first three quarters.
So you saw a great quarter then.
If we all just came together and watched it, like, or just combined our experiences, we have like the full experience, or we'd have you.
Yeah.
What Ice did the entire night. You watched the whole thing, I presume.
Yeah, I saw the game. It was good. You know, like, I think the first three quarters were simple. They're playing for charity.
Which was cool.
And they started at zero. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, they came out a little lax, but then Kawhi was just like,
he hit his like first three threes. I was like, what?
Dude, he came to play, man.
What? They didn't load manage him?
No. No. Not at all.
And then because I think he came to play, people started like stepping up a little bit, like, oh crap, this guy is shooting lights out. So, and then because now they have a charity that they're playing for. And so it's like the first three quarters was easy, and then it was nice to see that near the tail end of the quarters, people were like, watching the score, and they're like, we got to start playing. Mm-hmm. So all three quarters were really competitive. I'm still confused by how they set that target score at the fourth quarter, but either way, they have a target score, and I think knowing that this is the end of the game, dude, they're playing hard, man. That was cool to see.
So if I remember correctly, it is like the composite score for the first three quarters, and the team that's in the lead, they take their total and they add 24 points.
Okay.
So
North Korean rules.
I mean, it's a dictatorship of effort.
Did we ever talk about that? The North Korean rules?
What, you, if you lose, you die?
I can't remember.
It's a Game of Thrones of rules. I
can't remember who posted it or something, but there's like a set of rules that they play by. It's so funny. We got to talk about it one of these shows.
One of these days.
Yeah.
But it sounds like everybody enjoyed what they saw. Okay, so we promised to get Phil off the line real quick. So another sidebar to the All-Star Weekend festivities was Yeezus, Kanye. I don't know if it was him himself, like driving through the streets.
It was not, but okay. It's cool though. It was a good idea, I thought.
Were you one of the plebes in the street trying to throw your shoes at these Tonka trucks to get a new pair of Yeezy Quantums?
Dude, if you guys saw that video of the guy taking off his
Umber his fear of God,
oh my God,
I would like to jump through the screen and smack that dude right in the mouth. I would never do that for those whack ass Quantums, dude.
Do you know how upset Ice was? Like, it was just an angry text. Can you believe that?
Are you kidding me? What the beep? Like, there's no way. He's like, there's no way this happened. I was like, dude, it happened.
That's gotta be staged.
Like, why? No, yeah, that's definitely staged. No one in their right mind will give up the fair gods for that ugly piece of shit.
Especially because those were a Chicago only release when they were released over the summer. They didn't go anywhere else. So that's like super rare.
Context.
At least he wears his shoes. How about that?
That's true.
You know what? He's got something there, Jackie. Can
respect that.
Yeah. So did you end up picking up the Jordans?
Anything.
So I got the NC to Chicago's. I did get exclusive access to those.
Oh, you copped those. Awesome.
Yeah.
Sneaker pass?
Yeah.
Yes.
Snaps for that.
Yes.
Look at Phil.
The New Beginnings and the 85s, dude, they were gone like immediately.
Damn it.
That sounds about right.
And they did two sneakers passes for the 85s, and I didn't get either of them. The first one, I was super pissed because I was like, I was on it when it said, you know, coming soon. So I was refreshing like every second.
Refresh. Enhance.
Like enter draw.
Enhance.
Enter draw.
No, it's just get reservation or something. Like that.
And dude, I was there as soon as it said, you know, as soon as the price popped up, I hit it and it was already gone. Dude.
Gosh. Crazy. To be so close.
But you got closer than we did.
I didn't get to follow Kanye's trucks around, but I mean, that was cool though. They came right by in my neighborhood.
Oh, no way.
Oh God. So you actually had an opportunity. Yeah.
But I was at work, so I couldn't make that happen. But on the bright side, I entered the raffle for those Fear God questions, and I won.
What?
Yes.
No way. Yes.
Nice. Yes.
Whoa.
What the hell?
No. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He gave himself a yes.
Wow.
Awesome, I mean, dude.
What?
I've entered every single like drawing raffle. I've tried for every single pair that they've ever released, and I've never hit on anything.
Oh my goodness. Congrats, man.
Nice.
Breaking news whenever it feels like breaking.
Oh, I'm glad someone won.
I know. Jeez. It was L season for everyone else. It was L season.
It was a painful weekend. It was like it was a callback to when they did Yeezy Day and I was trying to like
oh you know, yeah.
like throwing out like 200 pairs of each of these like different
I'd be like,
and I, dude, all I did was sit on my phone for 12 hours and just be depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
I didn't hit on anything.
With that perspective, if you won a ticket to the Yeezy, what is it, the Earth? 350 Earth?
Yeah, the 350.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll reveal this here. I won a seat in that line, I guess.
Yes.
First time for everything.
The moderator won a spot at the local Adidas shop in Tyson's Corner.
Right. And I just found out that I have an appointment with my accountant at that exact same
time. So you know what you got to do.
Cancel that appointment.
Damn right.
Or send the missus.
The missus can sign on my behalf. Just do my signature, big X right there.
Where's your husband? He's in line for shoes.
For a shoe that he may not get. I think he's spending our tax return before it actually comes.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, going to be a tough conversation.
Dude, if you do go up there, I don't know if your Adidas store is going to be the same rules as the one down the street from me.
Sweet
but
Christ.
Yeah.
There's rules.
You getting a ticket doesn't guarantee you your shit, so you got to get there early.
Got it. Understood. So the 9 o'clock window is a falsehood. I should show up at
five. Whenever the mall opens.
Oh God.
I don't know how hyped that pair is in particular, but I know
it looks like a burlap sack.
All right.
That's a flip right there, if you ask me. Jesus. What,
I went in store for the waves, and like I showed up, and they let me like get my ticket and then go grab a coffee and stuff and then come back and still keep my spot in line.
Oh, cool.
So but when I won in store for the Triple Blacks, I had to get there. You had to like be there early, early and like stay in line or else. So it's like kind of weird. Like, I think it depends on how like how much interest there is.
So you're saying there's no chance.
No, I think well, you got to go early. Then.
Correction.
That's all it is.
So you're saying there's a chance. I mean, there's it's just it is exclusive to North America. So I don't know. I don't think it's the best colorway of the three pack.
No.
The tail.
I like the taillight.
The taillights is the hypest.
Is that a Europe?
Yes. Europe and Russia.
Every raffle for those.
So did I.
So you call that the coronavirus exclusive.
Indeed.
Cannot wait. Well, Phil, we've taken way too much of your time. We appreciate the all-star insights and the coppaging news. Like this
coppaging?
What?
Yes.
Instacop's not taking off. So
Insta-L.
We got to flip to another another catchphrase. But, Phil, thanks for dialing in, man. We will are you going to be back like on the East Coast anytime soon?
Yeah, hopefully, we're hopefully going to get there around Easter, around that time.
Yes! So. Okay. That's soon!
I'll save you a fish sandwich.
This is what we're planning on, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
But hey, I've been spreading the love of Instacop, so.
Oh, sweet! We just need to get that shirt up.
Hey. Okay, you didn't win the Janet Jackson tickets, but you might get a t-shirt.
All right. That's good enough for me, bro. All
right. We'll have to cut one titty out of the shirt, though, just for you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Gotta keep it
Janet 100. All right. All right. Go get a hot toddy, man.
Good talking to you guys.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Later,
pal.
That was our boy, our friend, our compadre in Chicago, Uncle Phil. Almost called him Chicago Phil. The first iteration of his name. Man, that was a great perspective on a horrible weekend for shoes for, I guess, the three of us. My God.
Kind of sad that he didn't go to any of the, like, pop-ups or festivities for
It's 9 degrees every day.
I know.
But are you kidding me?
That was, like, one of my best memories when they came into D.C. Like, I went to the fan jam session. Dude, it was so much fun, man.
106.7 The Ice.
It's so like you got to do like all the 3-point shootout competitions. There was, and then like George Michael, the sports machine, was there. He was like throwing balls out into the crowd and signing autographs.
Telling you to have faith.
It's cool, man. Wrong one. Okay. But it was a lot of fun, man. Like that, I was trying to convince the wifey, let's fly to Chicago just for the jam session or whatever the fan experience. Uh-huh.
There's no chance she was into it.
You were
going into 16-degree weather.
Well, she would have. She was down, but the idea that we had to bring the little ones with us.
Oh,
no. Who's going to watch the little ones while we're out having fun and stuff?
Who's going to brave 20-degree weather to go to Illuminati's and shoot free throws outside? Are you kidding me? What a psychopath. Just like we're psychopaths for trying to cop this entire All-Star weekend. Did it start with the Strange Loves?
I think so. It was such a blur. But then there were so many things that were supposed to get released.
And didn't.
So did we find out that the Fear of God things dropped
Chicago
only locally, like
locally,
that week?
It was only Chicago.
Like, did you know that in advance?
I didn't know it until after.
I circled the calendar. Like, I made arrangements. The wife was like, what the hell is this? It's like, don't worry about it, babe. I thought for sure it was going to be something Ice was going to camp out for. I think I actually camped out a day in advance by accident. And then, lo and behold, like, refresh, all of a sudden, Chicago exclusive. So
yeah,
that was an L before we could get the L.
Why didn't they mention that up front, man?
They just changed their minds. Then, you know, the New Beginnings pack, right? That got pulled. And so it was just only Chicago. So if you really wanted $40,000 in profit, you had to fly to Chicago to get these
40
shoes.
40 grand?
Yeah, to cop everything. It just
40 grand.
I'm kind of inflating the numbers, but just, I mean, this is all exclusive. There was nothing that we could get. The only thing that you can get was the North Carolina to Chicago, UNC to Chicago. That was it.
And Phil did.
Phil copped. He got that sneakers pass. So
gotta get something, man. You gotta congratulate anyone who could get anything that weekend. I'll say this. So the Strange Love was the Strange Love dunk, which I guess it's still the year of the dunk. That was the first big fat L of the weekend. And then I think this was the only smart thing that, that Nike did, in that they, I think they staggered the release of the Dunk and the Off-White Jordan 5.
Yeah,
about an hour apart.
Yeah,
and they did the Off-White in a lottery, so you know it was
a
raffle,
a
whatever.
Dan draw.
Yeah, they learned that was a phrase this weekend as well.
Yeah,
and that was I think for all of us, we kind of expected that to be a loss, but
super no, L,
I woke up feeling like this was gonna be the one.
You got to suppress that, man. You got to stop thinking you're gonna win.
Too many L's for so many months now. I'm like, this is gonna be the one. For some reason, I was like, this is gonna be it.
I can't, like, I'm thinking in hindsight now, the fact that I won those Jordan 1s, the Into the Spider-Verse ones, is amazing. Like, it's been a year plus of just staggering defeat and just constant disappointment. I can't.
Sorry, man.
I think like should have hung on to those shoes. Man.
And I should have taken the ones that you had.
I didn't know. Yeah.
I felt bad though. If you had to sell it to me at retail.
Oh,
price.
I would. Yeah. $20 over retail.
$20.
I would have taken that.
Yeah, for sure. We talked about the Off-White Jordan 5s. I think it was almost immediately after the shoe dropped. Like, so it's a gray kind of denim-ish colorway for that Off-White Jordan 5 that got dropped.
It's got a distressed look to it.
Right.
It looks really nice.
Very chambray look.
Correct.
Yes. So then, like, immediately on Instagram, all of a sudden, like, Virgil Abloh, who is, I guess, the brainchild behind Off-White, he drops his post on Instagram and says, "Plot twist," as the only thing in the caption, and it's a cream-colored Off-White Jordan 5, which I have to say, probably as good looking as the one that got released. Perhaps? No? Am I speaking into an echo chamber? Sweet Christ.
I like the gray ones.
Better. I did too.
Yeah.
I think either one of them I was probably going to flip. But yeah, of the two, I still prefer the original, the gray ones.
That's fine. I mean, I'm saying like the shoe itself was pretty good looking in its own right. I think the design that went into that Jordan 5 was very thoughtful. And then there was the video that showed him taking the actual shoe, and he's cutting out panels.
Isn't that crazy?
And he's finding a pair of Louis.
Of course, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. But then he's trying to find a pair of Louis socks to match with the damn thing so it fits through the hole that he just cut out.
Correct.
Like it was amazing to kind of see that whole thought process.
How many people you think would do that when they receive their pair?
Probably a few. Yeah,
no,
a
bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
People who don't really care about the shoe, they just want to work.
He made the shoe. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. He probably can get as many as he wants.
Of course. He could flip like no other. Okay, so I guess I was alone in that sentence. So
yes.
So Phil talked about the New Beginnings pack. So that was the red and white Jordan 1, and then there was a white and red. So that's a very careful distinction.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah, right. The white and red ones, and then there was one that was a precursor to those the ones. Yeah. That was the white and red ones, not the red and white ones.
Right.
Okay. Whatever the case may be.
That was
the one that I want.
Yeah.
I wanted that one so bad, man. If,
can you explain why? Is it just because of the silhouette, or?
For me,
please to explain.
I'm a fan of like that retro look, the old school look. So like I like the. Sheesh, man. What are they called? The Reapers? Are they like that old school? Nike.
On the what? Oh, you
mean
the
high tops.
Oh, those? Yeah. Oh.
So that has that. It almost.
You mean the Blazers?
Oh,
the
Blazers. Sorry.
There it is. Yeah. He likes the Blazers.
The Reapers.
Yeah, because the Reapers was the Off-White ones that came out.
No. Which I also wanted those.
On Halloween.
But was, then the.
So I'm the one who's lame.
So the Blazers, it reminds me a lot of the Blazers, but even more retro than that.
Because
like it has that classic look of that traditional Nike high top.
And Michael Jordan beat the Blazers in 92.
There you go.
Sorry, go ahead. Shrug. Shrug.
So when I saw those, I was like, all right, Jordan 1s is cool, and that has that old school classic look. And then there's this one that you don't really see that often.
At all.
And and of course, they have to pair it in this pack.
Yeah,
you could just buy this one
$350
alone.
Bucks later.
But you get two shoes, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I'm sure
it's going to get flipped for like way higher.
Although, most of the Jordan 1s go for less than $150, do they not? Or less than $190?
They were $160 last year. They've upped it to $170 now.
I feel like a lot of the average shoes now, like two something.
But I feel
the
like
off-whites. Jordan, the newer Jordans are always 220.
220.
Yeah. But the ones, I feel like they're consistently the lowest of the... Yeah.
This is less material.
Yeah, fair.
But so, they've upped it to 170. I will tell you that.
Okay. So it was close as far as the value on the shoe. Like
yeah.
At 350, like you're getting it close to what they're
for
selling.
For both shoes, yeah.
Okay. So big loss for old Ice here.
Oh, yeah. I need to check GOAT now. I want to know how much people are flipping it.
Jesus,
for.
Let it go, bro. Let it go.
Let
we go. we can totally bypass the other stories. When you bring up GOAT, did you know they have sponsored athletes? Did you know that was a thing?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm guessing you know that because you're constantly on GOAT.
Correct.
So GOAT is the sneaker selling site. By the way, if they have sneaker endorsers, we need to be the podcast for GOAT, right?
Hopefully.
Can we get that going?
Oh,
can we try?
By the way, that new beginners pack on GOAT.
Uh-huh.
$9 million.
$2,000. Get out of here.
Can you believe that?
Are you serious?
Can you imagine if we were to cop that, we could flip it for
$2,000? Hey, Phil. Can you imagine if we could have cop that? Phil.
$2,000.
Wow.
Jeez, man.
I think that splits pretty good four ways. Just saying.
Yep.
Man. Okay. God. Nah.
Oh, if you manage to get a 7.5 or a size 8, 7.5, $5,000. Size 8 is $4,000.
Yep.
That 2000 was size 10. So, shoot, man, that means all these rare exclusive shoes, you want like 7.5, 8. Right?
Yes, those are the money sizes.
Man. Interesting.
Because they make less of those. So they make more of the most popular sizes, which...
And I still can't get
9.5 to 9.5 to 10.
Yeah. Right.
This is the most popular men's size in America.
That segues into another topic. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But so Rui Hachimura is one of two endorsed athletes for GOAT. And I mean, it's an interesting move. I think...
Who's the other one? I forget now.
Is it Ben Simmons?
Yes, it is Ben Simmons.
Okay,
yes,
got it. I was going to say Kyle Kuzma, but, you know,
I thought it was Kuzma.
Makes me a racist.
Wait, isn't it Kuzma?
I think it is Kuzma.
They're both light-skinned.
I mean, right? If anything, we're definitely racist, but not in, like, an overt way. But just the fact that they have sponsored athletes is kind of a crazy thing. Like, the fact that they have
Kuzma.
Enough,
yeah, all right.
Kuzma, all right, it is. Good. So they have capital. Like, this whole endeavor of... having a shoe exchange website has legs to it. And I think for some odd reason, like StockX buys advertising on TV, but GOAT seems to have a better reputation in the sneaker community. And I don't know if that's just a byproduct of them being a more sustainable model. Like, I don't know, like StockX actually, like, they have to take your shoes and handle them and try to verify authenticity.
GOAT does that too.
I think you have to
send it to them,
right? But I'm saying, are they doing something inherently different than StockX? That
not really. The only thing that there are
other, or are they just better at it?
I think they're better at it, and then but also that you do have other options, so you can sell your used shoes on there as well, so you can sign it with them.
I saw StockX, another site like Roku or something.
Roku, never heard of that one.
I'll find the link here in a second, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so they do that. I did have an incident where my shoes were... I didn't really look at the shoes that I bought, and I flipped them real quick, and then they were like, well, these shoes have been used. And then they sent me pictures about it. They're like, what do you want to do? I'm like, sell them as used. Like, I couldn't go back to
the retailer. Didn't check it out.
Yeah, I didn't check it out. I opened them for a second. I didn't look inside. I didn't know it would be that bad. And it was bad. Like, it looked like it was returned. And so I couldn't go to the retailer and say, hey, it was like final sales final. I'm like, shit. So, I mean, that was pretty cool of them. With StockX, they would have sent a bag and be like, yo, we can't sell these.
Yeah. I mean, I personally feel like a lot of it has to do with branding. I think they do a hell of a job making them feel like they're on a higher tier than a StockX.
Yeah.
I think just the way they present themselves feels like they're more of a high class. They have a better experience.
It's a better looking app. I'll say that much.
It's a way better looking app.
They're only on the app. It's like they don't have a traditional website. Yeah. You have to do everything through the app. So that's pretty cool.
And even like the way that they, because I've listed shoes on there before, and the way that you go in and you take your photos, mm-hmm. and they make it like it's very streamlined, it's very smooth, and it's like it's super easy. And the way you can compare,
dare I say, dope.
Yeah, I just feel like they they are doing it justice. Like, I feel like this resellers market, it doesn't feel like an eBay or, you know, it doesn't feel like dirty, you know? It feels like this, I can trust them. Dirty. And I feel like that's why they stand out.
Yes, for sure.
And I love what they did with the holidays, with the whole Black Friday stuff.
Oh, you guys were all into it. I had to block you for a few weeks. Jesus Christ.
Those guys, that's genius marketing, man.
Yeah, they do that. So I've only been on GOAT 2 years, and they've done that for the last 2 years. But yeah, I've always had a great experience with them. Yeah. StockX, not so much. And they tend, so when you go to StockX in the sneaker community, it's kind of like that, you know, it's like a four-letter word, right? They set the market for the shoe, for whatever shoe that comes out. And a lot of times the market price they set is lower than what you'd expect. So when StockX first came out, people were like, why is this so low here?
Yeah,
and so now there's been a negative connotation with it ever since. So yeah, that's why when I tend to try to sell shoes, I go to GOAT for whatever reason. I just get a better return there. So
have you guys gotten wind of like the Instagram accounts that have kind of sprung up in it seems like in the last few months where they're strictly devoted to showing all the stuff, just completely egregious valuations and returns that have taken place on StockX,
yeah,
or purchases that have come from StockX, and it's just like the checks on the Nike is in the wrong direction.
No way.
Like it's a shit show. But like there are a lot of Instagram accounts that are just kind of springing up out of nowhere that are just screaming at the top of their lungs just how awful their StockX experiences have been, or letting everyone profess how bad their StockX experiences have been.
I've seen them. I mean, I've heard of other experiences and cooked.
So you have not experienced it yourself? Groups.
No, not at all.
So you're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people that I've seen, they're like, well, you know, StockX messed up this, or, you know, my shoes came and you could definitely tell that they were already worn or they're fake. Can we check it? Let's check if this is legit or not. And then it has that StockX verified, like, little placard or decal on the shoe. It's like, man, whatever.
Hang tag's full of shit.
I mean, but you just think the amount of shoes that they're receiving and having to turn around, like, I mean, you're going to have things like this happen. So I think the turnaround time is like 2 business days to send it in.
Right.
And then I'm not sure what the turnaround time is to send it to the buyer, but with GOAT, it's 3 days. So they kind of give themselves a buffer. And then my experience again, where I said, they said, hey, your shoes are worn. They're not brand new. I mean, it was pretty quick, too, and it shows that they are taking the time to look at your shoe and actually doing a QC check. So, yeah.
That's quality control check, people, if you're not in the biz.
Yeah, but that's what it is.
But I can appreciate the, during the listing process, if as a seller, it's cool because they're very transparent about the cut that they're going to take. Mm-hmm. So they're like, if you're going to sell at this price, we're going to take this amount, which is going to leave you with this. Mm-hmm. So that helps you kind of set your price too.
Sure, yeah.
So it's like it's neat because I like when companies do stuff like that, because then there's no guessing game or any math you need to do. It's like if you're getting gypped or anything. Because there's times where I'm like, oh, I could sell at that price, and then you factor in all the cuts that everyone's gonna get out of it. I'm like, I'm gonna actually take a loss from this price.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
No. So. They're car maxing the shit out of your shoes.
Too soon.
Too
man.
Soon.
Man. Too soon.
Wait,
too
what?
Soon.
Oh, sorry. Never mind. Well, the start of the story was Rui Hachimura. Do you think they were prudent in selecting their endorsers that they have?
I guess with Rui, yeah. I see
the upside in him because it's more like international.
Yes.
And
yes,
he's got the look. I mean,
he's already like Jordan Brand already took a leap with them, so they're gonna be like, they're gonna follow suit. Like, we can get him too, sure.
Yeah, why not?
And he's got the look. I don't know.
Black? I don't know what.
No, he's a good looking dude. Is he not? Am I wrong?
Sure.
You see the photo, like the promo photo.
Someone steamed up.
Enamored, I am.
Apparently,
so was MJ. me and MJ got that in common. Ben Simmons can't shoot, so that kind of negates anything that he brings to the table.
He can't shoot at
all. I'm sorry, Kyle Kuzma. Who am I thinking?
No, they signed Kuzma because I think he has a
he's got the look.
To the younger generation. He has that...
the Jenners of the world.
Not necessarily... I mean, he's a baller. The guy can play when he's on his game, and he...
When's that?
What do you mean, when's that?
He's oft hurt.
Man, I would take him any day.
I would take Brandon Ingram over him
twice on Sunday.
It's tough, man.
And I'm really the sport at all.
They're playing together. I don't know. There would be days where Kuzma looked like the star of the two.
Like, you going to shoot today? Nah, I'm not going to shoot.
They take turns.
Yeah. You take turns with Kylie? No, not me today, bro. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You certainly don't.
No, I'm flaming out of control.
So I brought up the Rui thing just because he has international appeal. But evidently, there's like a stigma about Asians and shoe culture, and you kind of spoke to it a little bit in that like the money sizes for shoes are the smaller shoes, and genetically, Asians are generally the smaller sort, and they will be the market for your size. I don't know. Five through eight.
Uh-huh.
So were you aware of this in any capacity, being like our resident shoe expert? Did you know this? I guess you obviously know that there's a market for the smaller shoe size, but did you know there was a connotation with Asians in the sneaker community at all?
A little bit. They're more of the hype beast. They'll buy pretty much
anything.
They drive the markets, especially internationally. So they're... I tend to sell on GOAT because a lot of the international markets, it's an app, right? But you can sell for a bit more there because your international customer can buy from there. Now,
so GOAT is international.
Yes.
So StockX limited
in
capacity?
They were limited for a little bit, but now they're starting to branch out a bit more. Okay. I think,
but they're just getting their legs under them in that capacity.
I think the last 8 months they finally were in the EU, and then like I'm not sure where they're at in terms of Asia, but
shout out to the EU.
But if they're in Asia, I mean, forget about it. They'll just kill the market.
Coronavirus, so. Be damned. Somebody's got a cop.
But you know, I mean, the connotation, I guess, is just the international, especially the Asian sneakerhead, will buy anything, right? But they'll pay a premium for it.
Given that a lot of these shoes are made in Asia, do you feel like they have somehow like the bootleg market?
I heard that in South Korea, all they do is wear the counterfeit stuff because it's so expensive. So any of the Supreme gear, Nike, whatever, any of that new fashion, they'll buy the counterfeit bootleg stuff because nobody over there, who can tell the difference? They don't care. They pay for like pennies on the dollar. Who cares?
Because I always wanted that crap, man. Like when I go, like when I'm out in public and I see these freaking like Asians, not like Asians like us that seems like we've been
like
here for
us. We live here.
Yeah. When you see the ones that
in
look
in this country,
like touristy, and they're rocking Off-Whites, wearing them in public, walking on dirt. Hold up.
It's counterfeit.
I'm like, dude, like you know what you're wearing and you know how you're treating them. Like, I don't know if those are legit or not.
Yeah. So no ticky, no laundry. I get it, man.
So I just have a feeling like if we just took a trip to Asia, we could probably find all these shoes just readily accessible everywhere.
Yeah. But do you want to be a counterfeiter?
No, but that's the only way I'm going to get. I'm going to get any L's left and right, man.
L season.
There's no way unless I'm going to drop like $2,000 on shoes.
Or you can drop $2,000 and buy like a case of shoes
that
look close enough to the originals.
A lot of it says made in Vietnam, man.
You bite your tongue, sir.
We got to find that factory, man.
But I heard that if you go there, you'll just get the rejects.
Oh, like
the stuff that just comes off the line. It's all messed up. Like,
Minor defects. Minor.
Take them.
Like, yeah, with the swoosh going the wrong way.
Yeah.
It says Ekin instead of Nike.
Oh, God. I think we've seen those in a time or two.
Ekin is pretty bad, but swoosh the wrong way.
That's pretty.
You could probably pass.
Yeah, eat shit, Travis Scott.
I know. He's flipping them left and right, aren't they?
That's true.
I learned the reason why I brought up this topic about Asians in sneaker culture, I came across the Full Size Run YouTube show, which is put on by Soul Collector, the website.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had on the Fung Brothers, who I honestly not throwing any shade whatsoever. I didn't know they were a thing until I saw them on the show. But they're Asians. They're sneakerheads. They've got clout. We have none. So I was interested to hear like somebody else with that kind of perspective. But I didn't realize just how closely like Asian Americans of our age group kind of move with that that entire demographic and that whole movement. Like if you're into hip hop, if you're relatively within our age range, like all of that stuff kind of like hits us in some capacity. Even if you're not 100% into those things, like somehow you have a connection to it one way or another, like a relative's into the sneaker game. Or you know, like you have a passing interest in shoes, like somehow some way like you're connected to this community, and I thought it was interesting. And you know, but now I know, like if I'm getting a side eye walking down the street and like my Jordan 14s and like somebody thinking I'm rocking some fakes, I know why. There's like a stigma about Asians bring to the sneaker community. So yeah, kind of a weird sidebar to this entire All-Star Weekend sneaker discussion that we had here on this episode.
It's supposed to be a good month, and it sucked.
Looking at the calendar ahead of time, you're like, oh, there's so many drops this month, man. We're bound to hit one.
Now it just felt like an extension of January, which was bone dry. So nothing. Sheesh.
So you're saying because of this, I should skip my appointment with the accountant and go straight to Tyson's Corner and try to cop.
5 a.m.
God.
What time does the mall open?
I don't know. I don't think it opens at 9, bro. I really don't.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, for you to go in.
The parking lot opens? Okay. Yeah. 7? Probably.
I'm sure there's going to be people sitting outside.
Old people doing laps around the mall, probably 8:30. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, I know, but you're guessing now. You don't know.
I'm guessing, but I'm just saying, like, I've seen it. I used to work at the mall.
You just got to be at the right door. That's all.
The back door? The way you like it? Yeah, we'll give it a shot. That's going to be a hard conversation to have. All right. L season continues. we'll see what goes on there. This has nothing to do with anything. Did you guys watch the Back to the Future deep fake?
I saw parts of it.
It's unsettling, to say the least. Like, everything seems to work for the most part. Okay, so if you haven't seen it, it's the scene in Back to the Future Part 1 where Marty's he's in the school, and he's already been approached by his would-be mother, and she's already hit on him, and then all of a sudden the doc springs out of the corner, and
great Scott.
Marty's being played by Tom Holland, and the doc is being played by Robert Downey Jr. You know, if you're into Marvel, that Spider-Man and Iron Man doing the whole Batman bit, or I'm sorry, Back to the Future bit, and it's freaky as hell, but we're in a weird time, like, right now. Like, it's a cute little thing to do, like, a YouTube video with Spider-Man and Iron Man, but there's so many nefarious uses you could have for deepfakes that it really kind of freaks me out where this could go from here.
It's nuts, man. I mean, it's this technology, I've been following it pretty closely.
Tell.
So this is actually one of my career misses.
You could have been in the deepfake game.
This is one of my biggest, like, what ifs, regrets. One of those things you question yourself, why did I make the decision I made? So
he chose good over evil.
Ah, man. So when I moved out to San Diego, right, someone connected me with a guy that was doing this. He had this startup company that was all about facial detection recognition. And
was his name Jeff Bezos?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, so some guy was like, hey, you know, he needs a lot of UI help and design help. But, you know, so they're like, I want to connect you because since you're going to be, and he lives in San Diego. So it's like, you know, it's perfect since you're moving out there. Maybe you guys can start doing some, at least have coffee together. So I spoke to him and he was like, yeah, you know, when you get, you know, I told him I was in the middle of a move. He was like, when you get out here, get situated, hit me up and then let's meet up and talk about it because I really do need help. Mm-hmm. He said, in the meantime, here's my company. Here's the stuff that we're doing. Check it out. Went to the website and, you know, at this time, zero polish. I knew exactly why he needed help because he had the technology, just no fluff. Like, there was just like nothing to make it presentable.
Need a fluffer.
So went through the website. There was a series of videos and studies that he did with MIT students. And he created this technology that scan your face can detect your facial expression and apply that to a model. At the time, it wasn't like how deepfakes work today, but uh-huh. It can apply it to anything, and then you can make that thing move to mirror your facial expressions.
Okay, okay.
That technology. So long story short, I skipped because of the move was so intense, and you know, and I
he's so tired, so exhausted.
I skipped on coffee with them because, oh, and then no. I was starting my new gig, and I was just like, you know, I have my. I'm all set. I don't need extra jobs right now. I need a break. Turns out that dude got bought out by Apple.
Oh my god!
And that's what's running all these Animoji, Memoji stuff.
Oh my god!
And so the dude is set now.
I understand.
So he's
holy shit.
So I was like, you gotta be kidding. When I saw the headline, reached out to the dude that connected me. I was like,
do you still need to connect, bro?
Did you see what happened to your boy? He's like, I know.
Oh, wow.
I was like, that's insane, man. Like, and I was like, I was this close to being on board to working with them. And he went off and got bought out by Apple. And now technology like this is being applied to like these deep fakes, and it eats me up inside because I could have been somewhere totally else, man, if I just made the right decision.
I'm sorry, bro.
So this is one of those things in life where you just like, if I only just did one thing different, I could have, you know, it could have led me somewhere else. And you know, it fascinates me. This whole facial recognition stuff, it fascinates me. And I was so caught, like, with the whole move, it was so overwhelming. I'm just, I couldn't meet up with them, and now I'm like totally regretting it. Like,
you could have been on the ground floor.
I know.
So you didn't like the video?
Oh, it bugs me every time I see deepfakes. I'm like, I could have been part of this.
Sounds like you see a lot of deepfakes.
There's so many.
Well then, I guess we need to just downturn out of that conversation. You should post that on Craigslist. Missed opportunities. Were you the guy with the multi-billion-dollar company in San Diego? Respond.
Anybody else need my help? Reach out to me.
Yeah, you should take a flyer every now and then, because you're not going to get that out of this podcast. I'll tell you that right here, right now. Man. Oh boy. Well then, if there's a time for us to get the hell out of this podcast, I don't know what is. All right. Well, can you turn the board up a little bit?
No, that's me.
Is that you? God, man,
you gotta.
You have to get used to it, man.
Yeah, sorry.
That's one of these days. That is not me.
The fake board.
It's all right. Faux board. All right. Well, boys, thank you.
Surfboard.
Ice, thank you for sharing your pain.
I'm sorry.
We all felt pain this past week. Yeah. Whether it's in the shoe game or missing out on a few $1 billion, you know.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to our friend Uncle Phil for succeeding.
That was my shot to meet Johnny Ive. Jesus Christ. I missed it.
Yeah, stop. He doesn't even go here anymore, man. Shout out to Uncle Phil. You win. We all lost in this past week.
Thanks, Uncle Phil.
Thanks for dealing with our bullshit. Yes. Until then, all right. I think I came up with a catchphrase to get us out of the show.
Do the do.
All right. I don't think that's going to be it. But we will see you all next week. And until then, up here, I'm already gone.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.